Here's Cowie to get it for Memorial, and she'll bring it into the attacking side. Cowie, left side. Right-hand dribble, high out to the right side for Schroeder. Schroeder, left-hand dribble, can't curl into the lane as she got defended. Graham, right wing, little head fake into the lane. Drives in, off the glass, no. Rebound, loose on the floor. Sally picks it up for Oshkosh. 8:30 left in the ball game. Memorial leading 74-27. They will advance in the second round of the playoffs. Fasunda on the baseline, getting double teamed. Needs help. Throws it outside, finding Rika Hansen into the game for Oshkosh. Sally to Fasundo at the right block, leans in, no on the shot, but drew the foul on Meredith Adams of Memorial. That's Adams' third. And to the line is Naviana Laua Fasundo.
Yeah, Meredith Adams now on three fouls, so she'll play a little bit more cautiously here down the stretch, trying to avoid those fourth and fifth fouls. As now Memorial will go with pretty much a hockey line change, bringing out four new players.
First free throw good by Fasundo. Again, we'll rejoin you tomorrow night, 6:45 broadcast start, 7 o'clock tip. Memorial will take on either Holman or Marshfield. And Derek, what's the latest update in that?
Well, in the Holman-Marshfield game, there's a little under halfway through, and Holman and Marshfield tied at 52.
Fasundo did make both free throws. 74-29, Memorial leads big in this one. Gonna get home early tonight, Derek.
Yes, we are, so gonna be nice. I got dinner waiting.
Raina Welch at the baseline right. Back out to midcourt to, got it to Palmier to the right wing. Ferguson took a three, that's an air ball. Oshkosh north the basketball back. Alik takes a high arcing three from way out to the right side. That's no good. And the ball back to Memorial. Abby Larson, the junior, by the way, into the ball game for the first time here tonight. The only other player that Memorial has that hasn't seen action tonight is Abby Mason Dupree, a senior. And I would assume she'll see some time before the end of the night as well. Raina Welch underneath, back down her defender. No on the shot off window, and Sally the rebound for Oshkosh North. Left side, Paulson. Paulson, right-hand dribble, knee high. Nowhere to go, between the leg dribble, but that doesn't pull off her defender, Hoytop. Here's Alik trying to curl into the lane. Nowhere to go. Now from up top, takes a three ball. That's an air ball. Nice hustle there by Paulson along the baseline. Jumps, saves it, throws it off the defender out of bounds. Oh, they're going to say she was already out of bounds, and the ball back to Memorial, but nice hustle there by Brenna Paulson. Don't tell her team's being buried. Still giving it all the effort she can. Might as well hit the tape if you are a player for Oshkosh North. You've only got 5:30 to play in the ball game in your season with a running clock, so it doesn't serve any good just to hang your shoulder. Might as well try to create one more memory for yourself and your teammates. Oh, beautiful ball fake by Millie Cowley into the lane. Draws the contact and scores. And she'll go to the line trying to complete a three-point play. Drove into the lane, faked the pass into the right corner to Hoytot. Drew the foul and scores off the glass. 76-29 Memorial.
Yeah, that play looks straight out of a video game for Kelly, as she just pretty much she drove right through everybody and put it in.
By the way, Laura Rowan Redwine is checked in from Memorial. I mentioned that there was only one other player who hasn't seen time. Redwine also, a sophomore who sees a lot of time on the JV squad, is now in. And Mason Dupree getting ready to check in as well. So, and in Fanning, the entire roster will have played, and a lot of them getting significant minutes. As Brenna Paulson nails down a three for Oshkosh North. She's got 17 in the game, though Memorial leads 77-32. Memorial on their way to getting to 80-plus points for a fourth time this year. High out to the left side is Cora Graham. Graham into the lane, lowers the shoulder, and she didn't get called for the foul, but she gets called for the travel. That does allow Abby Mason Dupree, the senior, to come into the game for the last 4 minutes of this one.
I don't think people realize how impressive 80-plus points and the amount of times Memorial has done it is impressive, as remember, no shot clock here in high school basketball, so teams can take 5 minutes if they want to set up.
Alec shot from the baseline for Oshkosh. No offensive rebound. Heaved up. No good by Lucy Howsworth, but Howsworth fouled and gets a couple of free throws here. Awood Alec on Tuesday in Oshkosh North's play-in round win against Chippewa Falls had 34 points and averages 18 for the year, but tonight was a non-factor. Though, again, you're going to hear her name already as a sophomore with a lot of Division I offers. At high level, you know, mid-major Division I offers, but she's no doubt going to get a few more tastier offers before all is said and done. First free throw no good by Howsworth, and the second free throw is off the front of the rim, no, but lane violation, and she'll get another one. Somebody jumped in too soon for Memorial. Clock, though, continues to bleed down, 2:45 and counting. 77-32, Memorial leads this one in a rout. And Howsworth does make the extra free throw she got.
Yeah, going back to that lane violation, Lauren Redwine was the guilty party there. She jumped the gun a little bit and entered the lane just a little bit too early.
Again, we'll come back with a post-game show when we're done here. We'll give you the final look at those scores and try to reset the bracket as best we can. Tomorrow night, though, Memorial home again, taking out a to-be-determined opponent, 6:45 airtime. Lauren Redwine for three, left side, bottom. And the sophomore, Lauren Redwine, hits a three off the bench. 80-33, Memorial up to 80 points for a fourth time this year. High out to the right side for Oshkosh North is Valdez, and a quick timeout taken here by Oshkosh. We'll keep it here. Derek, why don't you give us some out-of-town scores?
Well, that Marshfield-Holman game is getting very good. Late in the second half of that one, Marshfield and Holman tied at 56 each. That hockey game as well is late in the second period there, and Wausau West has taken a 2-0 lead over Memorial. So those two are going ahead. Also, the Fall Creek versus Regis game. Fall Creek, late in the second half there, leads over Regis 54-49. And over in the Altoona game, it is Altoona who are starting to look like they're going to run away with it as they lead over Mauston 47-39.
Well, we're going to have a number of shots at some teams getting to the sectionals next week. Off the inbounds in midcourt, Redwine knocks it away from Memorial, but it's tracked down in the backcourt by Kolzik for Oshkosh North. 90 seconds left to go. Memorial in a rout in this one. Awook behind the back dribble, high out to the right side, but nowhere to go. Good defense by Millie Cayley. She did not take the eye candy. Butzloff caught underneath for Oshkosh North, forces up a reverse layup, and it ends up going in. That's a nice memory, though, for the senior in her last high school game. Larson, right-hand dribble to the lane for Memorial. Shot no good. Rebound Mason Dupree, though. Tries to throw it outside, but she threw it over the head of Cayley into the stands. It'll go back to Oshkosh. 1 minute left in the ball game.
You can't say anything other than be impressed with what Memorial has done to this game. 80-plus, something they've done numerous times, but it's just amazing to see in person.
Now a steal by Memorial. A run out here for Ava Hoytot. Hoytot will score. She got the steal, the scoot, and the score. And then a quick timeout here just so that Oshkosh North can have a couple more substitutions. Opportunity to bring some seniors off the floor in their last game. Some tears on that Oshkosh sideline, and rightfully so, as some players see their high school careers, a moment in their lives, close. Meanwhile, Oshkosh ball, we restart possession here. 30 seconds left to go. 82-35 Memorial. Just no matter what the final score will be, the bread basket's empty. We're just waiting for the check at this point as the freshman Savannah Russ can't get the 10th shot to go for Oshkosh. Rebound to Millie Cayley. Cayley to midcourt. We'll see if Brandon Fain just wants his team to... Nope, Kaylee's going to take a shot from the lane. She hits the shot. And then another quick rolling timeout given to Oshkosh. With 9 seconds left. So Oshkosh will throw it in here. With 9 seconds left. Throwing in. Racing up the floor is Reagan Benn, the freshman. 5-4 Benn to the top of the key. 3. Heaves up a shot off the glass from the top of the key. And there's the buzzer inning this one. Happy handshakes to the Memorial Old Apes, who advance to the next round of the playoffs. They defeat Oshkosh North, going away 84-35. So the top-seeded Memorial Old Apes, an absolute throttling here tonight. And their reward will be another home game tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, right back here against a to-be-determined opponent. We'll take a break. We'll come back, give you some final numbers in this game, and try to shed some light on who that opponent could be tomorrow as we'll take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard. This is Eau Claire Area High School Basketball from 93.5 and Eau Claire Hometown Media.
Stay tuned for tonight's postgame show featuring a recap of the game and a look at the final stats.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
It's time for tonight's postgame show featuring a recap of the game. Let's get back to the gym and Scott Montesano.
And we rejoin you one final time from Memorial High School. All Memorial in this one. They win this WIAA regional semifinal, the first round of the playoffs in girls basketball. They win it in a rout, defeating Oshkosh North 84-35. Memorial advances to the regional finals tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Right back here on their home floor, and now they are 3 wins away from getting to the state tournament. Scott Montesano with you, Derek Montesano with us as well. We'll give you a look at that out-of-town scoreboard and maybe shed some light on who that opponent could be tomorrow night in just a moment, but quickly running through some stats in this one. For Memorial, 18 for Raina Welch, 14 for Ava Hoytot, 13 for Millie Cayley, another 14 for Nora Kling. Memorial scored 59 points in a runaway first half. They finished with 84 points, the fourth time this year they've gotten to 80-plus points in a game. And, Derek, any other stat of note in this one?
Well, you have to know the fact that Memorial shot a ridiculous 82 shots in this game. 82, consider that. For you, comparing to just the 33 that Oshkosh North shot in this game, that's really the only huge stat to note is shots on hoop in that game.
Memorial averaged 2 shots per minute, and that's even with a running clock in the second half. So just a thorough domination by Memorial. Hey, they're the number one seed. This is a team at the very bottom of the bracket. You knew Memorial was capable of doing this. Well, Memorial actually did it tonight. The talent level is going to jump up a little bit tomorrow, though. No matter who they play, either Holman or Marshfield, they routed both of those teams in the regular season. So You know, Memorial is very much capable of, well, they're very much capable on paper of cruising into the sectional round, but they're going to have to take care of business tomorrow night. Well, Derek, let's jump right to that out-of-town scoreboard. What does that out-of-town scoreboard look like with that home and Marshfield game?
Well, that home and we'll start right there with that home and Marshfield game. Late in the second half, Holman leads 60-59 and a nail biter there over Marshfield. Also in action in the area, Altoona and Mouston are nearing the end in that one. Altoona leading 49-44. Also nearing the end, Fall Creek against Regis. Fall Creek leads 56-52 in that one. And on the hockey side of things, late in the second period, Wausau West still leads 2-0 over Memorial.
So again, as we sign off here tonight, all those other games still going on. Holman Marshfield's a flip of the coin late in that one. The winner of that will be the opponent for Memorial tomorrow night. Regardless of who they face tomorrow, Memorial, Derek and I will be right back here. 6:45 airtime. Winner advances to the sectionals next week. Derek, final thought?
Well, Memorial's going to have to come out the same way they did today and be ready to play tomorrow.
All right, Memorial wins this one. Going away, they rout Oshkosh North 84-35. Big thanks to Derek Montesano for joining us here tonight. Talk to you tomorrow night, Derek.
Well, I'll be happy to be back.
Well, on behalf of everyone who made this broadcast possible, I'm Scott Montesano saying there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. Make sure to take advantage of it. And until tomorrow night, so long, everybody.
Thank you for tuning in to this presentation of Eau Claire High School Football from Eau Claire Hometown Media, 93.5 The Tap, and Civic Media. For a schedule of other upcoming games, visit echometownradio.com or thetap.fm.
Second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
In a galaxy not so far away, the battle for truth rages on. Smart Wars is a solo exhibition by Rory Wakeemup, a Minnesota Chippewa artist who flips the script on Star Wars using humor and regalia. Wakeemup challenges colonial narratives and reclaims indigenous values of balance, resilience, and environmental activism. This exhibition runs February 27th through April 5th at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis. More information at allmyrelationsarts.org.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
A portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. And we are here with our friend, State Senator Mary Kunish, for our update and our little gab session. And again, I just got to say a big peeny geegy. Thank you so much for coming on. I know you're super busy, especially now we're in session. And a big part of this show, Wendy and Haley, is our guests. I mean, that's what makes the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I just talked to someone too recently in the past couple of days who had mentioned how much they love when Mary comes on the show every Friday. So yeah, I wanted to bring that up too.
Thank you. Good one. Thank you.
Now let's get to the dirty part here. Now, a lot going on, things happening. I know Wendy and I will be seeing you Monday, and maybe we can talk a little bit about that before I forget.
Yeah. So I've invited Robert to come in and testify for the Education Policy Committee on Monday. That's at 12:30 in the Senate building. We will be hearing two bills that affect our students, our American Indian students across the state. The first one is a modification of the mascot bill. And if you all remember, and I'm sure most of you know that we have outlawed the use of any imagery or language or any association to an indigenous picture or person without the permission of the tribes. And that has caused a lot of consternation for some of the school districts that still are using that. You know, it's unfortunate that they didn't have the foresight to come up with their own mascot and you know, refresh that. And, you know, I'm hearing a lot of threats from school districts that are saying, well, if you don't give us the money to do it, then we're not going to do it. That's not what the bill is going to be. I am going to try to allocate some dollars to the schools because I recognize 100% that there are costs to signage. If they have the mascot image on their wooden
jerseys
or their gymnasium floor, I get that there's a cost, and we don't want that to come at the expense of our students. But when I hear this blatant, we're not going to do it, you know, you have to wonder about the maturity of those leaders, right?
Yeah, good way to put that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other one is a drumming bill that will allow the parent group to request drumming at high school events where we have a large or, you know, have Native population. And when I talk about the parent group, in Minnesota, if a school has, or a school district has more than 20 Native students, they are obliged to create the American Indian Parent Advisory Council for that school. And they have every right to be in on discussions around curriculum and other things that affect Indigenous students, and should be acting as an advisor to the school and the school district. Mm-hmm. And so the bill that we'll be hearing on Monday says that if there is a formal request for the drumming, then the drumming has to be considered at graduation ceremonies, because we did hear it in the last couple of years that school districts that traditionally were doing that, all of a sudden were saying, no, we're not going to do it. And you have to wonder, you know, you really have to wonder why that is the case. It's sort of like when we had to create a law that said, yes, our Native students can wear an eagle feather in their graduation cap, because we know that our Native kids graduate at the lowest levels and unfortunately have the highest incidences of attendance issues and truancy, as well as, you know, reaching the grade level score. So anytime we can create an opportunity where to call them out with pride and recognize their achievements, why wouldn't we do that? Is it because not everybody's Native? Not everybody enjoys hearing the drums? I don't know. But, you know, let's put some support behind these students with the largest disparities.
Absolutely, Mary. And you remember, and I know Wendy remembers this, that I was on the St. Paul Parent Committee, Native American Parent Committee, too, and for quite a few years as a teacher advisor, not a parent, but we went non-concurrent in St. Paul. We were demanding things that were very, very easily fixed, that we just got a lot of lip service, and we had to go non-concurrent 1 year, which was unprecedented. Nobody had ever done that in St. Paul, and we got some things done, just basic things like leaving enough room for American Indian Magnet School to have students that are just signing up for class to be able to get in there and not be denied, where other people were filling up the school for whatever reason, whether it was busing or hanging out with their friends, and then it lost all vision of what the American Indian Magnet School was all about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and St. Paul was the leader, and another shout out to Mr.
John.
John
Bobolink.
Bobolink, because he was the one that really pushed to allow smudging in schools. And we have seen it, and it is proven that when our Native kids go through that smudging ceremony or have time to do that and recenter themselves and remind themselves why they are there and who they represent, It has tremendous positive consequences, yep. as well as allowing kids to wear their tobacco pouches. Yep. I mean, these are all things that we had to legislate.
Right.
And it's unfortunate that that's indeed what we had to do, but very slowly. And the thing is with the smudging is that we heard from a number of people that when the Native students were smudging, a lot of the non-Native kids asked if they could participate, mm-hmm. and they found that behavioral issues really decreased. So right. if we find one...
Well, I had Mary, while Mary's picking up her grandchild, I smudged way before it was legal in my classroom, and also gave out peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, but the reset button, what you kind of just mentioned there, is really what I witnessed, people coming down, and that's a way to ask for help and to reset mm-hmm. if they're having issues with another student or a teacher, to come down and smudge and reset. So that's a really good way to put it.
Yeah. So these are, you know, these are the constant issues that we are dealing with at the Capitol. And so thank you both for coming down and participating. That hearing is at 12:30 on Monday in the Education Policy Committee. And you can also watch it online. So anybody can watch any of our hearings online. Please don't do that, Rita. You can go into the, she's trying to put a metal thing in my computer.
Easy.
Dangerous.
No metal things,
Rita. You can watch it. We have a Senate YouTube channel that mm-hmm. Puts all of our hearings out there. There was just an incredible one this past week where Republicans were talking about defunding Medicare. I mean, come on. You know, not only our Native people, but our elder, so many older people, so many people in our communities. They need SNAP benefits. They need all kinds of these benefits. And it's so sad in this day and age that they need these things to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Please, you know, folks out there, pay attention to what's going on at the Capitol. And one way is to watch those hearings or go to the committees that we hear from and mm-hmm. hear about what we're going to be talking about.
Yeah, really good. Really
good. It is important. I just want to mention one thing really quickly. In 1992, when I was at St. John's University in Jamaica, Queens, the basketball team there was called the Redmen. Back in 1992, what happened was they realized that it was discrimination. And the student council got together and said, we don't want our basketball team called the Redmen because it's racist. Mm-hmm. And here are the names that we all get to vote on now. And then we did. We all got to vote on what name that we wanted. And we voted on the Red Storm. So back from 1992,
right.
I'm like really happy to know that my alumni, mm-hmm. you know, recognized that early on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a movement for a while, and that's why I say I wish that there were schools and entities that were proactive mm-hmm. and made that choice in a good way rather than having to be told, and then they get so upset when they're told to do something.
Right.
Well, you know, be respectful. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you bringing this stuff up in the forefront and really, like, the past few years about, you know, working on the smudging, working on the MM. I have my, and it's so funny, Haley and I are twinning today without taking notes. And being a part of the MMIW push here in Minnesota, it's so important. And well, we got another segment with you, so we're gonna talk some more with State Senator Mary Kunish.
Stay with us.
93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Special Report. President Trump berates Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky for being disrespectful in a fiery Oval Office meeting.
We gave you, through the stupid president, $350 billion.
You wanted
we gave
for
you
your
military
president.
Equipment.
Trump then abruptly calls off the signing of a minerals deal that he says would have moved Ukraine closer to ending its war with Russia. CBS's Major Garrett on why today's blowout.
Got off the rails because Ukrainian President Zelensky tried to remind the president and Vice President J.D. Vance that Vladimir Putin has signed agreements before with Ukraine and broken them. And he has justifiable nervousness about anything that Vladimir Putin would sign now.
And Zelensky tells Fox News,
we are ready for this, and this will be the step, first step to security guarantees, but it's not enough.
Ukraine's president was told to leave the White House today. CBS News Special Report, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Wisconsin players headed to the NFL. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports in Indianapolis at the NFL Combine. 300 of the best college football players here to interview and work out for NFL teams. One of them, Badgers safety Hunter Wohler, who saw his team fall to 5-7 and miss playing in a bowl game for the first time in 22 years. I asked Wohler, who grew up in Muskego, Wisconsin, how concerned is he about the Badgers football program?
It's going in the right direction. I mean, obviously, the last 2 years haven't exactly been what I envisioned, what Coach Fickell has envisioned, but like, Coach Vick's a great coach. I have 100% faith that he's gonna get that program in the right place.
NBA, Bucks with a win over the Denver Nuggets, 121-112. Milwaukee getting help from guys off the bench in the fourth quarter like Kyle Kuzma, Gary Trent Jr.
Yeah, they made a great run for us. That cushion, that momentum, that was huge for us. You know, and again, I think as great as they've been, I think they're going to be so much better a few weeks, a month down the line, which is scary to think.
That's Bucks center Brooke Lopez with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. As it turns out, not everyone in Hollywood wants to be a part of a superhero movie and is willing to pass on big fat residual checks. Jeremy Allen White, star of the Emmy-winning show The Bear, has passed on the title role in DC Universe's Sergeant Rock. In a recent interview, White said he is confused at the idea that the pinnacle of an actor's career seems to be a role in a superhero film. Then again, maybe he just doesn't like to wear tights. And then there's Chris Pratt, who seems to have no problem playing superheroes as long as the check cashes. I feel you, brother. Pratt has announced that he will play Star-Lord when the character returns to the Marvel comic universe by way of Guardians of the Galaxy. Pratt is currently one of the busiest actors in Hollywood, as he is starring in The Electric State with Millie Bobby Brown on Netflix, and you can catch him in the sci-fi film Mercy, which will be released this summer. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Breezy tonight and partly cloudy, colder, low teens. Sunny for the weekend, high in the upper 20s Saturday, low 40s Sunday. Mild to start next week with a chance of showers. Highs well into the 40s Monday, Tuesday. It's 28 degrees right now.
The Todd Alba Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Earl Ingram.
It's Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show, and I have a fantastic guest ready to chat about the latest developments in both local and national news. Be sure to tune in and find out.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Uh-huh!
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by a Native American community clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. Hey, we're back with State Senator Mary Kunish, Wendy Pilot, and Haley Cherry, and we are talking a lot of political stuff, but also during the break, we were talking a little bit about cursive handwriting, Wendy.
Yeah, and how young people aren't being taught it anymore.
Yeah, it's
and there's legislation about it. Can you tell us about that, Mary?
Sure. So every year there is discussion, like, should we bring back cursive writing? Should we make Algebra 2 not a requirement? All these kind of things. And cursive writing has always been a big one. In fact, it was one of those questions on at the state fair. If you go over to like the legislative booths, yeah, and we had those questionnaires, yeah, and there was a question, should we make cursive writing mandatory? And actually it was overwhelmingly yes.
Yeah.
I was telling all of you that most of the young people like that work in our offices can't read cursive writing.
Wow.
So we have to be very, you know, we have to print it out or, you know, send a text or whatever. But cursive writing is not, you know, being taught anymore. So Senator Ann Rest has a bill that would require the Commissioner of Education to develop an elementary English language arts requirement, and it's designed to make sure that students develop legible cursive writing skills by the end of grade 5. And that would be in education policy. So I don't know if Senator Swadzinski is going to hear that bill. If he does, and he passes it on to the next hearing, come to my committee, Education Finance, because there's money required. Fortunately, Minnesota is really, you know, has a really tight budget this next year. I don't know how many kind of fun things or non-essential, even though I think a lot of us think cursive is essential, will happen, but we'll see. So I don't know.
Haley, you said that you know cursive during the break. How did that come about?
I don't know. I must have been kind of the cutoff, because that I did have a cursive language requirement in elementary school. So we did, it was part of our credits, and we needed it to move up to 4th and 5th and 6th grade. And then, but from here on out, like I really only use cursive for my signature, really. So it's great to know how to read it.
If you're writing out a birthday card or a short note to somebody, you'd use it, right?
Yeah. And I think too, like, I mean, maybe if you're like a history person working in a museum, you might need to, you know, read cursive all the time or inspecting documents and stuff. But I don't know how much I would use it now.
I know when I was teaching, I would always print off a huge stack of packets for cursive writing that kids could take home, because they wanted it. They wanted to learn how to do it. And like Robert said, most just for their signatures. But I could never keep that. I couldn't keep it, you know, enough of a supply up, because before a holiday break, oh my gosh. I mean, I would make a stack this high. They could just come into the library and take one, and they'd often take a bunch of them for their brothers and their sisters or their cousins or whatever. I think it's a really good one for like eye-hand coordination, the different sides of the brain. You have to use a lot of different, and you know, so many kids are intuitively artistic or creative.
Right.
And I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, we had cursive writing where we'd do our worksheets and the teacher would read to us. And it was just, again, a time to calm down, to kind of get ourselves back on, you know, like after a recess or lunch hour, take 15 minutes to do something like that. So, you know, a lot of those really sort of fun, unique things are gone from education. And I'm really convinced that some of those things, it contributes to the way that our kids are really struggling in different ways.
Well, I believe that I learned to take naps in school in kindergarten. And Wendy, didn't you see something about naps will lengthen my life?
Yeah, something like a person who, an adult person who takes a nap every day between, you know, like 15 and 25 minutes or something like that. I could probably look it up. Can live like an extra 8 years. Like, it's significant.
Gosh, I love a good 20-minute cat nap.
Right. It just like brings down your blood pressure, mm-hmm. lowers your cortisol levels in your body, you know, just relaxes you. And having that done every day, having your body just really rest is health benefit. It's a health benefit to you.
State Senator, I always say this when Haley and I meet somebody that's going to correspond with us. I said, well, if it's going to be a two-sentence or a two-word response, that's coming from me. And if it's a coherent, you know, a couple sentences, it's coming from Haley. also, too, when we give out birthday and Christmas cards, if it's beautifully handwritten, that's Wendy. And I don't even get to sign it anymore. Right, Wendy?
Know your strengths and your skills.
Yeah. And own your strengths. Because we all have them, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, a lot going on at the Capitol. And we always like to bring up the fact, too, that it's the people's building. So it's really, like, less intimidating, Wendy, the more we go there. And I know you've been going there as a citizen for quite a few years.
Yeah, I've always enjoyed doing it. Yeah, meeting with my House representative and my senator. And
I remember you were up there for something, and you were, like, shocked that State Senator Mary Kunish was the guest speaker.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I do remember.
That was
very many years ago. You came to our Humane Lobby Day.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that. And I think we had just met and you just started on the radio. So it was like really fresh and new.
Yeah.
And you were at our Humane Lobby Day and you got up and spoke. And I was like, oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. It's Senator Mary Kunish.
I think she was representative then.
Happy. Yes. Probably. I think you were representative then. I came to you later on. But you've been supporting, you know, our humane legislation for a long time. So again, and as always, I always like to thank you for doing that.
Oh, it is my pleasure. If we can't take care of the four-legged animals in our lives and around us, then, you know, we just are not living our values and the values mm-hmm. of our ancestors. Just really appreciate the work that the Humane Society does. And I was a dog foster person for about 5 years. And oh my gosh, I mean, it's such a heartwarming thing to do. Sometimes it was a huge hassle. Sometimes we got the goofiest dogs and it's like, I don't know what to do with this dog. But at the end of the day, those animals that are our pets just mm-hmm. bring so much joy and comfort to us in so many different ways. Or, you know, if they're a medical dog that helps mm-hmm. with anxiety or the blind or, mm-hmm. you know, all of those kind of things. Just appreciate the work that you do as well, Wendy, and that the Humane Society does as well.
Yeah, and the Humane Society of the United States changed its name.
Mm.
Yes, we're not known as the Humane Society of the United States anymore. It is now called Humane World for Animals.
Oh, I like
World
that.
For animals, because we're, you know, we're outreach. We do work all over the world for animals. So, and our work is changing policy, and that's what we want to do.
Excellent.
Well, that is excellent. And State Senator, and we all know this too, I just like to amplify this. It's really funny too when you see old photographs of Native Americans that are, you know, in front of their teepee or whatever when they're outside. There's usually a dog there.
Yeah.
And yeah. You know, dogs are sacred to Native Americans for many different ways. But heck, some of the most famous chiefs and medicine men were named after or have dog in their name, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about the value of a dog in their everyday life, they care. You know, they would strap the travois to them, and those dogs would carry the goods and the belongings and the teepees. I mean, keeping them warm at night, companionship. I'm sure with hunting, just like
watchdog.
Us. I mean, Yeah, watchdog, very much an integral part of our of their lives as well as our lives. And we always hear about res dogs, and sometimes I hear people complain about Indians don't take care of their dogs or their animals. They're running all over. No, honestly, that's the way it should be. We don't want vicious dogs running around, but that's how dogs realize become humane. You know, they get used to us, we get used to them. And so I know that there are organizations that will go to the reservation and just have like a weekend of veterinary care for pets and animals, neutering, spading, looking at other issues. And again, appreciate all the work that those organizations do.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's needed, especially the spay neuter programs are unbelievably helpful.
Yeah.
And you know, what's really, I like throwing trivia out here every once in a while. So Bob Barker was a Cherokee, and he was Native American, and he always said at the end of his show, remember to spade and neuter. And it's just funny that, you know, that kind of lines up with what we're talking about today.
Maybe that was the price is right, I think.
Yeah. And truth the consequences if you're if you're old and remember that.
That's an old one. I think that was black and white. Yeah.
It was definitely. Well, State Senator, we got like a minute left here. Just to remind you, to remind everyone to come visit you whenever they can. It's the People's House, and we'll give you the floor here this last minute.
Yeah, please do come join us. Reach out to your representative as well as your federal delegation, the senators and the congressional. There's a lot of not good things, horrible things that are happening at the federal level. And your voices are really needed, not just with your own congressional and Senate members, but also the ones that represent our entire state, because we can't be undoing veterans. We can't be undoing education. There's now a tattletale line that that you can go to. So be a participant and let's make this world good, not just for us, but for the next seven generations.
Absolutely. Yeah, a big peeny geegy. State Senator Mary Kunish will be right back with our sacred portion, the animal section with Wendy Pilot.
Stay with us.
Your heart beats for generations. Take care of it.
There's a lot that we can do to take care of ourselves. And so I think it's important to take the smaller steps and break it down into more manageable pieces, because the little steps leads to big changes.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. For Indigenous women, taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Let's protect that story. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats.
I love the Toyota Sienna Hybrid from Rudy Luther Toyota. Safe, roomy, comfortable, and insanely fuel efficient. One thing I haven't mentioned is how good the Sienna is at winter driving. We just had a snowstorm, and my Sienna handled the ice and snow no problem. From getting through the plow pile at the end of the driveway to safely navigating the snow-covered highways, the Sienna is designed to give you a comfortable, safe drive. When winter weather hits, I give myself extra time, but with Sienna's handling and heated seats, extra time is great. Test drive a Sienna today at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Native history in Minnesota is diverse and rich. Indigenous people have dwelled here for thousands of years and continue to live here today. Our home, Native Minnesota, at the Minnesota History Center, shares the history and contemporary stories of the region's Native peoples. Now on display, the mask designed by Miwokan Dakota artist Cole Redhorse Taylor and worn by Minnesota Wild goaltender Marc-Andre Fleury. Visit the Minnesota History Center to hear stories of resilience, adaptation, and survival.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back. to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts. How?
I just got kind of confused there. I didn't know if I was supposed to howl or say no.
Oh, I know.
I was gonna trying to howl and say no at the same time.
You could do that.
In wolf language, it might be no.
Yeah, I can. No.
No. Oh.
It's a fun fact Friday, and it's really fun, too. We coerced Wendy to be on the whole show today, and that's that hasn't happened in a while, so we appreciate you and being on, and always your great analysis of what we're talking about.
Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them, and I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a policy volunteer for the Humane World for Animals. Yes, the Humane Society of the United States has changed their name. You can find them now at Humane World for Animals. But if you go to the Humane Society of the United States, it just like switches you, and you could find their information without any problem. So it's always my pleasure to do that. I work on animal issues at the local and state level. And I'm really excited. We're having another Humane Lobby Day every year. I don't know how many years it's been now, Robert. Do you know how many years it's been?
Oh, my gosh.
I can't even remember.
Before we were on the radio.
So Humane Lobby Day, I've been doing with the Humane Society of the United States, now Humane World for Animals. I don't know. What
before
do you think?
We got on Eight the radio.
Years, seven
we've been,
years.
This is our ninth year on
okay,
the radio.
So it's been a while. So every year we get together and we ask people to come and join us. And I'm going to give you the information on how to do that. But I'm just going to explain what it is to get you excited first. And then once you're excited, then you'll go to the site and sign up. So Humane Lobby Day is an event that's held every year. It's going to be held on Tuesday, March 18th. From 10 to 3 at the Minnesota State Capitol. We have our meeting first in a little church right across the street. And you go in and you can have some coffee and cookies. And then we have a little speaker and then some lunch. And then your appointments to see your legislator and House representatives to talk to them about important bills that we want to pass. Now, in our last segment, we were talking about with Mary, and, you know, she mentioned that it's really important to, you know, we have a lot going on in the world right now. And, you know, maybe animal issues right now don't seem as important as what's going on, right, with like, you know, what's happening with Trump and Zelensky and the war in Ukraine and Russia and like a million other things that are happening right now. You would say, okay, there's all this stuff to worry about. Why should I care about animals? I think the reason is it's because it's just, like Mary said, you know, it's just a fundamental humanity that starts with our four-legged creatures or any creature that has, you know, who is vulnerable, right? Who doesn't have a voice. So we need to stand up for them. And that's where humanity begins. So it's just a fundamental empathy that you have. So we're going to be presenting three policies that we would want to have passed in the Minnesota state laws. The first one I'm going to talk about briefly, it's fighting against a mandated wolf hunt. So want to do is mandate a wolf hunt in Minnesota, and we want to stop that. So that's our main goal, is to do that. There hasn't been a wolf hunt here in Minnesota. The last wolf hunt was in 2012 to 2014. And during that time, 900 wolves were killed. And I'm sure that there were a lot more, because as we know, there are a lot of illegal kills that happened with our Minnesota wolves. And just having a mandated wolf hunt would just decimate our wolves, and we want them for future generations. They help our, you know, the economy. People go up north and spend money in lodging just to see them, take pictures of them, you know. So we don't want to kill them. So that's one. The other bill that we're presenting is a declaw bill. So this means declaw. We want to have declawing your cat to be banned.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I left that my notes upstairs. Let me see if I can remember. The first state, the whole state, to ban declawed cats. We're not allowed to declaw your cat. Was New York.
Wow.
Yeah, New York.
When do you know?
I have it written down. It's upstairs. I think it was 2015. I would have to bring it up. Let me see if I could find it. It doesn't matter. So it's Massachusetts, New York, and there was another state. Mm-hmm. I wish I had it in front of me. I'm sorry.
That makes so much sense because you taught me this years ago about declawing and what that really involves.
Yeah. I mean, people think it's like, oh, okay, let's just take the nail out. It's not. It's like cutting the knuckle, the first knuckle. It would be like taking touch your fingernail and then that your first knuckle, that's declawing a cat. It's like removing their knuckle. It's very, very painful for the cat. It really produces more problems for the cat and more behavioral problems for the cat. It causes infection. The cats don't want to use the kitty box or kitty litter because they can't scrape it. So then they go elsewhere.
Wow.
Yeah, it could cause a lot of problems. And it's very inhumane. So let's get this done. Let's care about this. Let's have our legislators vote on it and pass it.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is have a wide Minnesota statewide humane pet store ordinance.
Yes. Statewide.
This is something I've been working on for a really long time. We had it passed in St. Paul. We have it passed in, like, I'm going to guess and say six counties. Cities in Minnesota.
Right.
Now we want it across the whole state of Minnesota. So what this means is we would ban the sale of cats and dogs who originate from a puppy or a kitten mill.
Yeah.
And these are dogs and cats who are kept in horrible conditions, right? Small cages. They have to stay there their whole life. And their whole purpose is to breed so that their puppies and kittens can be sold online and in pet stores. So we definitely want to get that passed. So these are the kind of things that we want to work towards. We want Minnesota to be a humane state and and we want to have even more. So I'm really happy. Also, Long Island passed a pet store ordinance.
Really?
Yeah, Long Beach has a pet store ordinance.
Come on.
There. Yeah.
So
there's a lot of places elsewhere in the United States that adopted this pet store ordinance because go ahead, babe.
I'm sorry. It makes so much sense. And we've talked about this over the years. Like, you know, Wendy's been on the show for 9 years. This is her ninth year and a founder of Native Roots Radio and talking about animal issues, but just the inhumane things that these puppy mills and all for profit. And of course we've had a couple animals, our relatives, our pets or whatever you want to call them as former puppy mill dogs.
Yeah. So you could go out on a website. Haley, do we have that? It's called a mini URL, and you can go on, it's called humaneworld.org. Oh, is that it?
.org. And then, it was like /.
Okay. Can you stop it so I could read it?
Yeah. If I stop it, it just goes away.
Oh, humaneworld. I can't read it. humaneworld.org/page/16.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Maggie Dawn.
Have you heard Rojo and Van Orton deny that Republicans are trying to cut Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security? I break down the numbers and call them liar, liar, pants on fire, starting at 2.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What celebrity would you like to hug? It's International Hug Day. I wouldn't say Josh Brolin is like my favorite actor, but he's got like a quiet macho-ness to him. Actor Glenn Morshower joins us now.
My self-esteem was jolted when you did not mention me as your hugging preference.
I didn't want to rush it. I just want to see how. Let's just dip our toes in the water here and see what kind of relationship develops, shall we?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky went to the White House to sign a rare earth minerals deal, but left without putting pen to paper after clashing with President Trump and VP J.D. Vance in the Oval Office in front of the press. Zelensky expressed concerns that Russian President Vladimir Putin would not honor a deal that did not include safety guarantees for Ukraine. President Trump saying,
"We're looking for peace. We're not looking for somebody that's going to sign up a strong power and then not make peace because they feel emboldened, and that's what I saw happening."
Republican Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina.
"I have never been more proud of the president. I was very proud of J.D. Vance standing up for our country."
Face the Nation moderator Margaret Brennan on the diplomatic impact of the undiplomatic encounter.
"There's about $4 billion worth of military equipment that's set to be shipped to Ukraine. Does President Trump stop that from happening? It could impact the battlefield."
CBS News Special Report. I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Local.